Hello, it's the Context Machine. Welcome to it. This is episode number 591. I even have the script right in front of me. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet, the guy who is really, really impressed with the way Brian recovered from that so he wouldn't have to do an edit later. Hey, please be sure to check us out on our new home page thing, contextmachine.io.
Is it still new? Regardless, you can use it, contextmachine.io, to reach out to us, or you can use Twitter at contextmachine.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. I'm going to hit you with the curveball right out the bat.
Oh, great. Okay.
I watched an episode and a half of Miss Marvel.
Oh, this is a curveball that I can fully endorse. What did you think?
Didn't like it. It's a fine show. It's a good show. I am not the target market. There's too much teen angst. And you know, I'm all about watching the teen angst sometimes, but I just found myself like, you know, wanting the episode to be over and eventually stopped the second episode. It is a well-made show, to be sure. I'm just not the target market.
The main character is 16 years old, so teen is definitely a core pillar of the story. You know, if you have an evening or an afternoon where you just don't have anything else going on, see if you can get through a little bit more. I'm just curious if it grows on you.
That it could well. I like the characters. Mm-hmm. I like the young lady and the young man, who her you know, sidekick person.
Kamala Khan and her best friend Bruno.
Bruno, thank you. I like both of the characters. Miss Khan's first, or her mother seems to just like really be nailing it in terms of being a mom.
Oh yeah, that actress is just absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm. She's fantastic. Didn't much care for the sort of, you know, nemesis girl, her schoolmate. She's a little bit too, the character is a little bit too obvious for me, but
yeah,
in terms of being like, you know, the sort of bully, but the show's pacing is good. The special effects are fantastic. I think I stopped during the training session where she was trying to figure out how to use her powers. I think that's where I finally turned it off. But I'm not bagging on the show. I'm just saying that I'm not the target market, and I was feeling that. And it's okay for me not to be the target market. That's the thing. I hate it when people forget that. Well, like they say that a show sucks and it's terrible or whatever, and they're not the target market. It's like, you know, it's okay for the show not to be for you.
Yeah, it's totally okay for it to not be your thing. And the way nature balances itself out is that I enjoyed it enough for both of us. So if you don't get back into it, the joy is still there because I just fell in love with the show. And I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. I'm glad that you enjoy it. And because you enjoy it so much, I will probably go ahead and try to give it another the half of episode 2 and episode 3.
Yeah, and you know, keep in mind, it's a Marvel property. So you know, weird stuff's going to happen because that's just what happens with Marvel shows. So you know, of course, there's more to come. Now, that said, maybe you should start watching She-Hulk.
I'm caught up on She-Hulk.
Okay, what do you think of She-Hulk?
Loving it.
Same. It is absolutely wonderful. And I am really enjoying how well they're doing the whole superhero thing, where they just give us loads of comedy with it.
Yeah, without making it a send up.
Yes, exactly.
You know, without it turning into its own, you know, spoof or something like that. There have been plenty of times where that has happened, especially in the comic book world.
Yes. And I think they've done just a great job of throwing in the right amount of Easter eggs, totally owning up to the cameos, and that giving us what the Jen Walters character is. Oh, crap, I just forgot her last name.
Yeah, Walters.
Or Jen Walters.
Walters.
What she does in the comic books, which is break the fourth wall.
Oh, so does she do that in the comic books?
She talks to the audience.
Oh, that's perfect. I did not realize that. I'm not a big comic book reader and did not realize that at all. And now I love that even more. I thought it was really well done in the show. Knowing so now having that extra bit of information makes me like it even more. I absolutely adore Tim Roth.
Yes, and he is playing his character so well.
I don't know it from the comic books. Was that in any of the Avengers other series?
Well, it was in the Incredible Hulk series. So his character, Emil Blonsky, is the Abomination. So that was the main superpowered villain that Hulk had to fight in the last actual Hulk movie, where Bruce Banner was played by, I just forgot the guy's name.
The previous Bruce Banner.
Yes.
Before Mark Ruffalo.
Right. And I can picture his face and I just drew a blank on his name. Anyhow, I'm just loving that. Thank you, Edward Norton. Yeah. So they've taken the whole Edward Norton story or movie and said, yeah, it's actually part of the whole MCU thing. And then they go, I love how they poke fun at the fact that you have this movie that was made with other actors, except for Tim Roth.
Tim Roth played the Abomination in the Ed Norton Hulk movie.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes. But I love that they are okay poking fun at the fact that they've had talent changes, you know, different actors, and they just own it in the show.
It is, I didn't actually catch that part, in part because of my ignorance that this was coming from. I didn't see the Ed Norton Hulk movie. There's a lot of the Avengers movies that I haven't seen. Regardless, I love Tim Roth. Lie to Me is one of my favorite TV shows. Did you ever watch that?
I did not.
Stars Tim Roth. So should be all, he's an expert in, reading micro expressions, and so can basically tell when you're lying.
Okay. Yeah, my first experience with Tim Roth or exposure to Tim Roth was Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
Ah, it wasn't the Watership Down. Not Watership Down. Oh my God! What's the movie? It's got the Mr. Pink, Mr. White, Mr. the Reservoir Dogs. You know, Watership Down.
Oh,
slightly. I mean, you can see why I got them mixed up in my head.
I'm laughing because I know you well enough that I can actually see where the logic track is.
It's the syllables. It's the number of syllables.
And all of the logic weeds have overgrown it, but I can still kind of pick out where it is. Yeah.
Anyway, he was in Reservoir Dogs. That was the first time I saw it.
Okay. So that's well after Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Ah, okay. Which I haven't seen. Okay, so regardless, Tim Roth, fantastic. He's great in She-Hulk. She-Hulk is great. My biggest complaint, my only complaint about the show is that I wish they were doing some kind, I wish they weren't doing as much 3D modeling for the She-Hulk, and that they were doing more, what do you call it? Motion capture. Because there's a lot of times when it looks like CGI to me.
They are doing mocap, and like if you see any of the behind the scenes stuff, they have Tatiana in like a mocap suit, and it has
why does it look
the
so
little head rig that hangs the camera in front of her face, so they get her facial expressions.
Well, why does it look? Does it not look to you like some of the She-Hulk movement is animated, is CGI'd?
Well, I mean, the whole character is CGI'd in to replace her.
Yeah, but it looks like it's made from whole cloth.
There are points where I just have to accept that some of the movement or rendering doesn't look quite
and perfect. It is a very minor quibble for a very well-made show. The show is poignant. It is funny. The action is good. Tim Roth is great. All the cameos are fun. It's the pacing is good. The timing. It's a good show. It's a really good show. I recommend it.
I'm with you. I'm really enjoying it.
Okay, shall we get to our first topic?
And thanks for joining us. It's been a great show.
We have a couple of tech things. Would you believe it? A couple of tech things to talk about.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, wow.
Okay. So, Withings this week on the 1st, a couple of days ago, as of this recording, announced
a... Because, top men.
Right? A top men. Well, I don't know. It's pretty good for us. Announced a new scale. A new... well, really, it's kind of like a health. What do you call it? Health scale.
It's a smart scale. I think health. Yeah, it's a smart scale. There we go. Let's go with that. Yes, yes.
And I have a Withings scale that I love. So when I saw this news, I was very interested. Do you have one?
Actually, I do. And
You have one.
Okay, that makes sense.
You told me years and years ago that how much you loved your Withings scale. So when I finally bought a new scale, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, I made it a Withings smart scale. It's because of you.
Okay. Oh, well, that's awesome.
I learned it from you.
You learned it from me, man. Yeah, I still use my Withings scale, and it is old enough that I'm pretty sure the Wi-Fi that's built into it is 802.11a.
Wow. And I mean, and does it still work?
Oh yeah, it still works perfectly.
Does it communicate with their, what do they call it, HealthMate? The HealthMate app.
Yep, it uses a HealthMate app. It also supports Apple's HealthKit platform.
Wait a minute, HealthKit. HealthKit came around years after.
Years later. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So it must be the app that supports HealthKit.
Yes, the app supports it. So, I mean, it's great because as soon as Apple rolled out HealthKit, I was able to immediately just send all of the data from the scale into Apple's platform, and that was that.
The HealthMate app also offers various services and tracking of the data that goes into it and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The HealthMate app is a nice app. And over the years, they've done a lot of great improvements and enhancements, you know, as new features, new technologies
and
roll out.
I want to say that in another way. Withings has improved their own service while simultaneously allowing you to use Apple service. If you so choose. And neither is required for the other.
Right. Yes. Look at what Fitbit has done. Fitbit still makes good products. But they chose not to support or be part of that wider open health data community that Apple is creating. And as a result, they've lost a lot of users, at least on Apple's platforms. And here's Withings. They're like, yeah, we love everything. We just want you to have a good scale that gives you good data and use the data where you want.
And I should also say that my Withings scale feels very accurate. And it measures to the tenth of a pound for whatever that is worth. I mean, like
a tenth of a pound.
It's worth it. I mean, maybe one should not be trying to track things to the tenth of a pound. I don't know. That's between you and your psychologist, I suppose. But it does it, and it does it well, and it's also very consistent. Certainly, I've had a lot of mechanical scales over the years that were like, you know, you step on it once, you get one weight. You know, just keep stepping on it until you get the weight you like. And they're like, yay me.
Right. Yeah. You know, which knee to cock forward a little bit.
Exactly.
To take like 3 pounds off. Yeah.
And the Withings scale has never felt like that at all to me. It's attractive looking. And I'm looking at the pictures of the new one. It's very much in keeping with some of their other ones. Oh, and it's sturdy too. Before I moved a year ago, I had a very small bathroom in my place, and I had my scale basically sitting on its side, and shockingly, it would sometimes get knocked over.
Well, first, I'm glad that your scale still works. Second,
it didn't. Yeah, the glass didn't
store any scale on its side.
It's not a good idea. I honestly didn't have a choice for at least for a while. It has a glass top in it, and that glass, it must be tempered. I don't know, but never broke or anything. It's well made. It lasts for a very long time on batteries. I mean, and I'm talking about like a model from 2 or 3 years ago, and you're talking about a model from how long ago?
I think empires have risen and fallen since I got mine.
Okay. So we are both fans of Withings' smart scale. And they have announced a new one called
the Body Comp.
The Body Comp and Health Plus Smart Scale.
Yeah. And I've been looking at the specs. Measuring body fat, that's a thing that that even my now ancient Withings scale does. But this one, it also does visceral fat, which is the fat that gets wrapped in and hidden around organs, and it'll measure the pliability of your blood vessels, and can gauge nerve health too.
That's seriously,
which is amazing because it's having to figure all of that out through data that it's gathering from your feet touching the glass surface of the scale.
That is, man, I mean, that's not a flying car, it's not a jetpack, it's not a hoverboard, but that's sci-fi stuff right there.
Oh, it's total sci-fi stuff.
And Withings isn't the only company doing this, but I love the way Withings does it, and I 100% love my Withings product. I also, I don't know that this is an informed, I think it's an educated opinion, but I don't think it's an informed opinion. I trust them with my data.
They haven't done anything to indicate to me that that they are abusing my data.
Right. And I don't think either of us have dug into it. And I think that's because we're actually pretty comfortable with the concept in the first place. Otherwise, we both probably would have gone digging. So this new one is doing some of the things that the old ones, the prior models have done, but they're claiming it's more accurate. Is that right?
It's more accurate. But yeah, things like the visceral fat and vascular age, that, and the nerve health, I think those are new to this scale.
Okay. Those seem like killer features to me. Like, you remember earlier when I was saying, hey man, you know, I've got the newer model, and if you want to see if they want to send you a review one, that's fine. You remember when I said that? Yeah. To you off camera. Yeah. Now I'm thinking that I'm going to fight you for it. I'm mostly kidding, but those sound like great features that are very desirable to me.
I'm just sitting here thinking, how far do we have to take the fight without hurting
you? You know you're going to win the fight, man. You're going to kick my butt. I know this. I absolutely know this.
I'll be crying the whole time. I don't want to have to hurt you, Brian. I don't want to have to do this. Pow. Oh, I can't believe I had to do that. Pow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm not going to come out of that very well. Regardless, one of us should get this. You should get it because you're replacing a much older one, and see if they'll send you a review copy.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Review unit.
I checked the press release, and it looks like it's officially available starting October 4th, and it's $209.95. So basically $210.
That price, and here's the thing we haven't mentioned yet. The Health Plus part of the name is a subscription service. The $209.95 right. includes 12 months. However, it does not appear that you need the Health Plus. What Health Plus does is takes the data that your scale is feeding into the HealthMate app. That continues, just like your app does, or just like your scale does, and just like my scale mm-hmm. does. But then the subscription service will take that data and actually figure stuff out and give you plans on what you can do to achieve various goals. I'm thinking that if you do not want that, you do not need it, and you do not have to have it, and you're still going to get the new sensor data.
Yeah. So, yeah, it sure looks like after that 12-month subscription ends, if you decide that what that subscription offers isn't necessary for you, you just stop paying for that part, and right. your scale still continues to work and collect all the data for
you. And we haven't tested Health Plus out yet. There's a lot of nonsense subscriptions out there. I feel like this was not one of them.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking that the Health Plus part is launching with the scale.
Right. And so, again, neither of us have tested that out.
Right.
We don't know anything about it. Okay, so we have a second topic.
Yeah.
We had, who was that? That was on the Twitter feed.
I love the name. His name, Rich Type One. That's his name on Twitter. And Rich asked if we could talk about photography with the iPhone, which I thought was a great idea.
Yeah.
And apparently you did too, because I saw we both replied to Rich saying, yeah, that sounds great. I just got the whole thing with your name, Rich, because I hadn't read your Twitter bio until just now. Well played, sir.
Okay, you
want to very share with well class? Played
because I still haven't.
Okay, well, since it's out there public on Twitter, I feel okay reading this. Search's bio is IT tech, Apple fan, F1 fan, wine, cheese, coffee lover, fully paid member, type 1 diabetic club. So rich, type 1. Nice. Very clever.
Gotcha. Fully paid member, too. That's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, if you're going to have a subscription, you might as well, you know, stay paid up so you get all the benefits.
All the benefits, right. So yeah. Rich asked us to talk about the iPhone camera. You had posted a photograph of what? A flower?
A flower, yes. So I enjoy going to the Denver Botanic Gardens. And while everyone is taking like these wide shots of the ponds or whatever it is that they get excited about, I get in close and I take pictures close up of flowers and insects and whatever else that I can get close shots on. I'm doing this with an iPhone 12 Pro.
Got it.
Yeah. So I do not have the iPhone 13's macro function on my camera. I'm just putting that out there because there are people that ask me about that with some of the shots that I take.
Gotcha. I have the 13 Pro and haven't used the macro feature all that much, if at all.
What is wrong with you?
You know, a whole lot of things, Jeff. Are you just meeting me?
Are you just meeting me?
The list is long and complex. Now, the I don't know if Rich is wanting us to talk about the camera or using the camera, but let's talk about using the camera.
I'm feeling like we should talk about using the camera.
Yeah.
First, because Rich isn't here to elaborate.
Correct.
And
we get to project whatever we want to onto him.
Right.
Thank you,
Rich. And part of what I was projecting was Rich thinking, wow, you two are the best guys in the whole world.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
And I thought that was really swell. So thank you, Rich.
For sure. So you do that thing where you have the Instagram account and then you don't use it just to sort of like, you know, voyeur your way into other people's lives.
Right. I exhibitionist into other people's lives.
You're exhibitionist into my life. Right. Which I appreciate. And your photographs are really good. You love taking photographs of like, you know, street art and street things in Boulder, which is, I always love seeing that stuff. And then you do a lot of nature stuff too.
Yeah. And thank you for saying that because you reminded me I've taken some shots recently that I haven't shared. So, I have some more street art to share.
Fantastic. Can't wait for it. Assuming that Instagram shows it to me.
Yeah. Well, I shake my fist at Instagram for not showing you everything.
Yes. Or, yes.
Yes.
The Facebook company.
Yeah.
I hate Facebook and yet I love Instagram.
Yeah. And they're laughing about that.
They are. Yeah. That is accurate.
Well, how about if I share one of the things that I do with my iPhone? And just so everyone knows, my iPhone 12 Pro is my primary camera.
Okay.
Like, I don't have a DSLR stashed away somewhere or even like a nice little point and shoot.
Okay.
It's just my iPhone 12 Pro.
I do have a DSLR stashed away. And
you've taken some amazing photos.
That's not my point. My point is that my iPhone is probably still my primary camera. I mean, the camera you have with you always beats the one you don't have with you.
Right. So, all right. So here's my favorite, I guess, iPhone camera tip. First thing I do when I get ready to take a photo is I hit the 2X button so that the telephoto lens kicks in.
Okay.
And then I frame my shot and take it.
Huh.
Why? So I'm doing almost all my shots with the telephoto lens.
Why?
And first, it lets me get closer to whatever it is, like when I'm doing close-up shots, without having to be as close.
Okay.
The second thing is, because I don't have to position myself quite as close, it's much easier for me to make sure that my shadow is not in a shot.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so the photo that Rich commented on, that's a photo. It's outdoors, taken in direct sunlight. And for the angle that I needed to be at to get the that stymus, the center of the flower, just where I have it, I was in a position where I'm backlit, so I have a shadow problem. So 2X button, I'm a little bit farther away. The flower is still closer to me because of the lens, and I get my shot. I'm not in it, and I have the detail that I wanted.
That is, I like that. I do like that. Do you find that? I had a question. It's just gone. I was trying to stall, trying to remember my question, and completely failing.
Then I'll answer the question. Yes, Brian, and I'm so glad you asked, because yes, that's something that I deal with all the time.
Excellent. I thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure.
The one of my favorite things to do for landscapes. I don't like my landscape photography. I don't know how to fix it, but I know that I don't often like the results of taking landscapes, or including it. Like, there's a lot of buildings that I've tried to shoot, and I can never capture what it is that I'm trying to capture. But one of the things
that can be hard.
Yes. One of the things that I have found that can be useful is to use the panoramic mode.
Yes.
Not to take a panoramic shot, but to simply take a wider shot. So like if you're going to do any kind of like landscape mode photography where you're shooting anything that's, you know, whitish or verticalish, using the landscape mode can sometimes give you an infinitely better photograph.
I'm glad you brought that up. And just so everyone knows, this was not planned. We did not script this. I do the same thing. I use the pano feature, and my little mantra for myself on that is, panorama is not a commitment. It's a tool in the phone. Mm-hmm. And like most people that I see using the panorama thing, they start and they go through the whole swipe across and get the full panorama. And my dirty little secret with that is, when I share widescreen shots or wide angle shots, those are almost exclusively done with the panorama feature. And I'm just swiping across a small area and getting that wide angle of just what I want.
You can stop the panoramic shot when you want.
Mm-hmm.
Is another way of saying what Jeff said. Another tip is, try not to spin when you're taking a panoramic shot. Like if you're rotating your body, you're going to end up having warps in the resulting image. It's going to be warped.
Oh yeah. So yep. Good point.
You want to do your best, which is sometimes very hard, to keep the iPhone on the same plane as whatever it is that you're shooting.
Yes.
And sometimes that might mean that you actually need to walk rather than rotating your body.
Yes. If you're going to do that, tuck your elbows into your sides so that your body becomes like a sort of like a tripod, a more stable platform for the phone, so that you get less wobble as you're walking.
Mm, yeah. Although Apple's panoramic mode is excellent at giving you, you know, it like stitching any kind of vertical up and down movement that you might have in the shot. Oh,
it's great at that. Yes.
But
the problem for me is that I often want what's at the top, and that's getting clipped off to account for my wobble.
Yeah. And the more up and down you have, the more from the top and the bottom is being clipped to make the stable shot. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, you definitely want to try to minimize that mode. That is one of my all time favorite tricks, is using the pano for any kind of landscape shot. Don't do it too wide, especially if you're going, or don't make it too wide, especially if you're posting it to any kind of social media, because it's going to look like a tiny photograph.
Yep. Okay. And another thing that I found to be incredibly helpful for getting shots to turn out is the thing where you tap on the screen to select the focal point. Mm-hmm. And which also adjusts the exposure mm-hmm. for the focal point. And I found this to be really useful when I have vibrant colors, especially like reds. And I can tap like on the red. And now the exposure that I'm getting is being built off of the reds. And sometimes that gives me a better shot. I will oftentimes, if I have a vibrant color like that, I'll do two shots. One where I'm tapping on that really vibrant color. And then the next one will be where I tap on something else in the shot that's still going to keep the focus the same, but it's not the vibrant color.
And then you're choosing between the best two pictures.
And then I choose between the best two.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the influencers out there love to post how-to videos. And what's mm-hmm. particularly great is when they start copying each other, but that's a complete and total other issue. So they talk about when you're taking a photograph of a person, to turn your phone upside down and then lower it, sometimes even to the ground, and essentially taking the photograph upside down, that for whatever reason, it's giving you a better perspective on the person.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you can get a better shot doing that. You need to play with it, because when you're doing like people photography, unless you're really good at getting angles right, shooting from below creates unflattering images.
It can. It certainly can. One of the things that you can do with that, though, is better capture, like, say, like the building that goes above your subject.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that can, but you do want to watch the unflattering angles. If you, I haven't seen one of those pop up in my reels. I don't do TikTok, but a lot mm-hmm. of the Instagram reels content is repurposed from TikTok by the accounts or by people who steal other people's content. And I haven't seen one of those in a while, so I don't have one to link to, but it's probably not hard to find like iPhone camera tips or something like that on reels if you want to actually see these kids who have figured this stuff out show you how to do it.
Yeah, or just go buy one of Jeff Carlson's books, because mm-hmm. he's like the photography guy mm-hmm.
for books. Look at you. That's good. You're going to send him a note? You're going to have that in the show notes?
Yes. Can you write a note? Because I would, except there's a cat that's laying on my hand sure. and my notebook.
Jeff Carlson, right?
Yeah.
Carlson link. This is sausage right now.
Link. Yeah. In addition to Jeff being a brilliant photographer and an excellent instructor, he's also an all-around great guy.
Oh, cool. That seems good.
Yeah. It's a great combination.
Right. I sent you a couple notes because we're going to stick the flower that Rich originally.
Yep.
You can stick that in the show notes too. Let's see here. Another thing is the iPhone is surprisingly Apple's. They're okay. there are great third-party camera apps and editing apps. I haven't used any of them enough to give anyone a particular endorsement.
Go ahead and just make a note that I need to include a link to Halide.
Okay, why? Tell us.
Okay, so if you want to have much better control over all the features of the phone. So it's more like having a DSLR where you have like fine-tuned control over the exposure beyond the thing that most people know, which is tap on the screen where you want the focus point and then slide up or down to change the exposure. Halide gives you much better control over that, gives you better control over low light shots, and it uses some sort of jiggery-doo magic to let you take shots that are more macro than you can get with an iPhone that does not have a macro lens. So like in my case, the iPhone 12, if I want to try and do something that's like a really close-up shot where a macro lens would be much better, I use Halide instead. And it's not perfect, but it gives really, really good results. So I can do pseudo macro with my iPhone 12, and I'm pleased with the results.
Got it. Fantastic.
I don't even know what it cost, but it didn't matter because it was worth it.
Well, I mentioned that because I was simply going to say that the iPhone camera app's editing features are quite good.
Yes.
For being included. I'm a big fan of high contrast photography, so I up the contrast, I up the brightness on a lot of my photos. I personally enjoy that look. Some people might not, but there are all kinds of things that you can adjust with Apple's camera app, and Apple makes it very easy to do it. And if you don't know what you're doing, just fiddle with stuff until you like the photograph better.
Yeah, and that's it's non-destructive editing.
Yeah.
So you can just, like in the Photos app, tell it to revert to the original and you're fine.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. Knowing that you're not screwing yourself by potentially ruining a photo that you want to make better. It's very liberating because you can experiment to your heart's content and then just undo it.
All right. I've got one final tip for us.
Okay.
So I am the type of person who takes a lot of photographs of the same thing so that I can choose from the one I like the most.
Uh-huh.
And enough so that it's kind of annoying if someone asks me to take a picture for them because I'm like, okay, all right, stand. Okay. One more. Okay. Just two more. Five. Okay. Here you go. And now their camera, now their hard drive or their storage on their unit is full. So,
right. Because they were shooting raw and didn't know. And it's like,
exactly.
What did you do to my phone?
Exactly. So if you take lots of photographs, be it multiple photographs of the same thing or just a lot of photographs of everything, don't be afraid to throw things away. Clear out your library and just throw stuff away. If you haven't picked out your favorite yet, you probably don't care. Just throw it away. That's my tip. Be brave.
Okay.
Throw it away.
That's a great tip. You don't need to be a hoarder with images.
Nope, you don't. And if they're important to you, go ahead and you know, plan some time to pick the one that you do like and throw away the rest of them.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. All right. Any other tips to tip people off?
Yes, as crazy as this sounds, get a selfie stick, but not a cheap one.
Yeah.
Get a selfie stick that's really solid and has a handle that pops open and becomes a tripod base.
Yeah.
Because there are so many times where having the ability to have like just a small tripod for shots comes in handy, or you realize I really want my camera over there, but I just can't reach. And on a good selfie stick, you can get the phone where you need it. And the good ones all come with a little Bluetooth remote. So you can still hit the button and get your shot. Yeah, it was one of those things that I resisted for a long time because, you know, there's this selfie stick stigma.
Yeah, exactly. But the reality is that selfie sticks can be fantastic. Do you have one that you recommend?
I do. And the horrible thing is I can't remember the brand off the top of my head, but I got it off Amazon. So how about if I say, go check out the show notes and the link to the selfie stick that I have will be in there.
I have enjoyed, I can actually sort of name it. I'm looking. Doesn't IK Multimedia make, no. Who am I thinking of? It's not them. Who is it?
Who I don't have enough context for what you're thinking about.
Well, that's not helpful. It is them. I'm looking at this is it's IK Multimedia. See how I'm stalling for time there? They've got the they have, what do they call it? I'm looking at the iRig mic video bundle, but that's showing their selfie stick, and that's actually like, oh, there it is. I found it. The iClip Grip Pro.
Oh, okay.
I like that product. It's well made. It's sturdy. It's it has a remote. The remote works. The clip works. It's a fine product. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes too.
Awesome. And while you were looking or sorting that out, I found the selfie stick I have. It's Atum Tech, ATUMTEK.
Okay.
And they come in different lengths. So you know, pick the one that's best for you. There's one that it's like really long. I think it was like 51 inches extended. And the handle, even when it's like packed down, was just too big for what I needed. It was like a weapon. So I ended up getting one of the shorter ones, and it's great. So it was like $25, and it's been solid. And this thing has gone with me on a lot of trips and has served me well.
Cool. Fantastic, even. All right. Those are our camera chit-chatty. I don't know. Are those tips? What are they?
It's it's our camera tips and tricks and pro advice. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds grandiose and untrue. So on that note, Jeff Gamut.
Brian.
That is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you could write us over at contextmachine.io. You can reach me on Twitter at GeekTales. Where are you?
I'm like on all the socials, J Gamut.
Excellent. That's perfect. Please go, whether or not you liked this episode or hated it, go leave us a review on the, is it called the iTunes Store? What do they even call that anymore? Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, Apple Podcasts. Formerly iTunes Store. Everyone knows what we're talking about.
Let's stick a link to our show on the Apple Podcasts in the show notes. What do you think?
Yep. I think that sounds like an awesome idea.
Do you need me to shoot you a note?
Yeah, because clearly you've become my personal assistant.
Well, you know, you got a cat. That's what happens.
So I have an office manager and a personal assistant.
Bass is recorded by Boom for us. That's all for this week. Thanks, Jeff.
Brian, you're awesome.
Mm-hmm. While true, so are you.